We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
This is the Dale and Keith Show.
For this generation of Maple Leafs, 2013 is ancient history. But like 5 years ago, this battle has been stamped by a comeback. Heritage, tradition, original...
Dale Arnold.
We went out there, had a quick buzz. I think we've responded better when we've gone on the ice.
Rich Keene.
Most people predicted the Bruins to win. Game 7, I feel like that more pressure should be on that team.
Yes. No, I totally disagree with Keith. He's totally wrong about that.
Dale and Keith.
You wish death upon someone?
Yeah, well, I wanted a sniper to take out the guy with a big head.
On the WEEI Sports Radio Network.
It's always easier to find out what Glenn disagrees with when he, I don't know, like actually says what it is.
He did. He disagrees with
me. He's a little confusing sometimes.
Sometimes. But he disagrees with me.
Okay. Well, me too, damn it.
I don't know what. I don't know about too. You disagree with me.
Yes.
You don't think there's more pressure on the Bruins tonight?
Is that what he was talking about?
I think so.
I don't know.
That could have been about anything. Could have been about, is Avengers Endgame the most anticipated movie in the history of movies? I say yes. Maybe Glenn says no.
Nerd alert. You should have heard these guys in the office a little while ago.
We prefer dork.
Well,
Dale,
talking about how they have to shut down the internet.
Yeah, shutting it
because
down.
Because the embargo lifts at 6 p.m. tonight.
6 p.m.
People can start giving spoilers. And if they do, then yes. Keith's going to want a sniper to take somebody out.
Yes, I would. I'm going to lose my mind because people are screening Endgame at like 2 o'clock this afternoon. I'm not seeing it till Thursday, so I'm nervous.
No.
I'm a nervous Nelly when it comes to this stuff. So, yeah, I'm going to be shutting down all the pop culture stuff, which is good. I can focus. I'll be laser focused on Game 7.
Oh, that a boy.
Stanley Cup tonight. And you've got a Game 7 later on as well, if you're still up for it, depending on what the result is of the Bruins game. But, yeah, I am all in. You excited? Nervous?
Yes.
Sweaty?
I heard Mutt this morning saying, Dale's up tweeting at 5:30 this morning. Yes.
You were up at 5:30 this morning?
Well, yeah.
What's the matter with you?
What time did you actually get up?
5:20 today.
5:20?
Oh, today I got up at 5:20.
Oh.
Keith, where were you at 5:20?
Sleeping.
Deep breath.
Sound asleep. But, I mean, I
not
got
a,
up,
not an no. eyelid fluttering.
No, probably not. Although my dog woke me up. My dog is getting a little uncomfortable because it's starting to get a little bit warmer. He likes it nice and cool in the house.
Oh, yeah.
And it's starting to get a little bit warmer in there. And so he usually sleeps in bed with us. And then last night he got down off the bed for some reason. And then he jumps back into bed and like rocks me awake. And I'm like, whoa. I'm like, easy. And then he like lays down and he's the most comfortable guy there. But
have you begun to decide the decision-making process of the introduction of the dog to the baby?
Yeah, somebody told me to take a blanket from the hospital and let him sniff that. That's what somebody said. So he's not jealous. I'm really going to just train him to watch her, and then that way
you could get a sit and play a couple of video games downstairs.
You know
the dog's got firm grasp of the 1 month old baby upstairs.
He's super smart. He is.
Oh, that's good. Yeah,
I think you would save oodles, Dale, on daycare or like babysitters and stuff like that.
Who could argue with that?
Because he's usually home anyway. So if he's keeping an eye on her, I feel good. I can check it. I can call home, check in with him.
You and the wife could continue your careers.
Yes.
You got a built-in babysitter.
Not bad.
If you could teach this dog to change diapers, you will be a billionaire.
Yeah, we're getting there. So we're potty train her real early, so maybe that can be just going to avoid that. So that's the plan anyway right now.
So we were talking about this on Nesson before Game 5 at the Garden last Friday. And I said, it's the uncertainty. Like, you're going into the game with zero idea of what you're going to get. Had it in Game 5, had no idea what I was going to get, didn't like what I got. Had it in Game 6, kind of liked the way they responded.
Right.
I mean, I think they're going to come out and respond well tonight, but honestly, you just don't know.
Yeah, really don't know because, like you said, Game 2, they needed to have a big bounce back performance, and they did. They got it right away.
Yes.
You could see the way that they were playing. And then in Toronto, they were able to even the series in Game 4. They come back. It just kind of a letdown, kind of a snoozer of a game. Not a lot going on. It's such a pivotal game, and they lose that. But then when they're facing elimination, they go into Toronto and find a way to win. So, yeah, neither team has been able to get anything going. And you can't say, well, look at what, you know, Boston did last game. They're definitely going to be able to do it this game. Or the same with Toronto. They've just been alternating wins this entire series. And so some of these guys, you know, game seven, some have a lot more experience than others. You wonder how many are going to be playing like their game or how many are going to be nervous about making a mistake. Because this is a different level. Like any one mistake, especially if you're Toronto, one stupid penalty could be the game. Because put the Bruins on the power play, they're probably going to score. In fact, if you give them two power plays, I can guarantee you they score on one of them. Because that's the way things have gone so far. But if you're playing, if you're in your own head like that, how are you going to play, you know, your best game? So, yeah, obviously this is what it comes down to. But to me, I'm looking sort of long-term for the Bruins. It comes down to one game where either they have home ice in the next round and are maybe, when we reset the odds, would be the favorite to win the cup. Or they're out in the first round and you're talking about maybe a roster shakeup.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's crazy.
So Keith's brand new favorite NHL analyst, Jeff O'Neill, is going to join us at the bottom of the hour.
This guy tells it like it is.
So we played a clip of Jeff O'Neill before this series started, and Keith just went, I love this guy.
Love this
that
guy.
Has nothing to do with anything.
Well, you got to play the whole clip if you have it.
Yeah.
Because they were talking
that
about
that part doesn't help us much.
We don't know what we're talking about. But he was talking about the series going in. And they were breaking it down. This is before it even started. And they were talking about, you know, how many games the Bruins or the Leafs were going to win the series.
This one feels more likely to go the distance than maybe any other series I'm looking at on paper. That
you
doesn't
think
mean
this
it
series
will.
Going the distance?
I think it's got a good shot, yeah.
I say minimum six, minimum.
But yeah, I agree with that. I think it's going six or seven anyway. You don't?
I do not.
What do you see happening?
I had a hard time typing 5 and 6 into my day planner.
You have Boston in 4?
No, but it's 5 max.
No.
I think Bruins in 5?
Yeah.
Okay, why do you have that?
Because when I watched the Maple Leafs give up a 5 spot to the Montreal Canadiens and a 6 spot to the Ottawa Senators and another 4 spot to the Senators, I'm wondering how are they going to defend night after night against the Boston Bruins? How is that defense going to hold up against one of the best teams in the league? I don't know how it's going to do it. How do you have any confidence in that, to think it's going to go 7?
It went 7 last year.
That has nothing to do with anything.
Amazing.
Your guy.
Those other guys ended up being 100% right, but I don't care. Who's the more entertaining?
So I text Jeff yesterday to see if he'd join us on the program.
Yeah, O-Dog.
Andrew Raycroft gave me his number.
Right.
Said he's expecting to hear from you. And I get a text back from Jeff. It says, tell Razor, if he gives out my number again, I'll kick him in the balls.
Oh, jeez. Well, hey.
To which I responded, and I said, I'll tell him, but now I feel bad.
Yeah, that's on you, Dale.
Well, only a little if it gets him kicked in the balls.
Well, I'm hoping this guy
and
brings
he wrote,
it.
Ha, I'm just effing around.
Good.
This is your new
this
favorite NHL
guy.
Analyst.
This is my guy. I'm looking forward to talking to him. And I thought it was going to be a shorter series as well. I agreed with him.
I thought
it was going to go 5. You thought 6?
I was wrong.
And here we go. Those other guys that he was talking with, they were thinking 7, but that is good. Well, it was 7 last year. That has nothing to do with anything. like we're talking about this series and this team.
That has nothing to do with anything.
But I really should have, I guess, in hindsight, thought that the series was going to be tougher. Because the Bruins, you know,
I never thought the Bruins would play as poorly as they have at home so far.
Yeah, that's a surprise.
Because they were one of the best home teams in the NHL this year.
That is a big surprise that both teams have won more games on the road than they have at home. Like, that's definitely a surprise. Like, if that happens in any series, that's a surprise.
That's where my miscalculation was that.
But they but the Maple Leafs added John Tavares. The Bruins added Marcus Johansson and Charlie Coyle from last year. And so I know they won last year, but it was a tough series last year. And I know, and I agree with O'Neill that, hey, last year doesn't really matter, but if you're just sizing up the two rosters, Toronto made the most significant addition. And so here we are, game 7, and really just a ton at the line, or on the line. And it's, you know, really the Bruins' season, if they lose tonight, their season to me is a failure.
I think that's fair. If they lose in the first round of the Toronto Maple Leafs,
right.
I agree with you. Then their season is a failure. I don't even disagree
right.
with that.
Right.
But, and again, it was a little hard to tell exactly what Glenn was disagreeing with.
Yeah, do you have the Glenn cut? So Glenn and Lou, we're talking about our conversation yesterday because we asked the question, who is there more pressure on? Dale thinks it's the Maple Leafs. I think it's the Bruins. And then, well, I don't really know what Glenn and Lou think. Let's find out.
Slow starts, it may not matter.
But yeah. Here's...
I can't. I mean, it's not, like, to me, it's...
No, I totally disagree with Keith. He's totally wrong about this. The number of points, and they had 7 more points during the regular season than Toronto, means nothing if you're looking at these other NHL playoffs.
Well, I would say this. What? 2004.
Wait, hold on. Can you stop that for a second? So, I'm not looking at the other rounds. I'm looking at this round. It's Bruins, Maple Leafs. Who had the better record? The Bruins did. Who has home ice? The Bruins do. The expectation is for the Bruins to advance out of the first round. I don't care that the Toronto fans are crazy and they line up outside. I care about this series. Who's the better team? The Bruins. Who did 85-90% of all the NHL experts, including my guy, Jeff O'Neill, who did they pick? They picked the Bruins. So the Bruins have a game 7 on their home ice. It's more important to them. Or there's more pressure on them, too.
You're looking at these other NHL playoffs.
Well, I would say this. 2004. The Yankees were the better team in a regular season. Who had more pressure on them to win?
What? Don't you think the Yankees did? Especially when they were up 3-0?
He didn't answer because Glenn didn't let him.
So wait, 04, there was more pressure?
He's saying...
Maybe at the start of the series.
I think he's saying that there was more pressure on the Red Sox because they hadn't won in 86 years, that, you know,
but
the
cumulative effect... Let me ask you this, though. In Game 7 in 2004, who was there more pressure on?
Oh, by that point, it was on the Yankees.
Thank you. Absolutely,
by
it was on the
Yankees. By the time you got to Game 7.
So that's what I'm saying. So if you want to go...
But for the exact same reason, I think the pressure's on Toronto.
You do,
Because Toronto... coughed up a chance to end this thing at home.
But not 3 times.
No, but
once. They had the chance, and they lost.
And now they got to come back here to play a game 7.
But I think when you look at it, and maybe, you know, I think those guys and maybe you as well are focusing more on Toronto's history, and that's fine.
Well, history and just the overwhelming scrutiny that this team gets up there.
But I think it's
hard for people here to understand.
No, and I get that.
There's only one other thing that's even close to it, and that's the Canadiens in Montreal.
Right.
There is nothing in Boston that even approximates what they face.
So they have 2004. Irrational fans.
The Yankees were the better team in a regular season. Who had more pressure on them to win?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. Exactly what? Can you answer it? So they obviously think the Red Sox do. I think that's insane, especially in Game 7. You're going to be the first team to cough up a 3-0 lead. There was much more pressure on the Yankees at that point, and I think they even played like it. And then that game ended up just being a laugher. I think if you're rational about it, and most Maple Leafs fans aren't, and that's fine, they're fans, but if you're rational about it, if you say, ooh, the Maple Leafs lost in the first round again, it's like, yeah, but to a better team. It's not like, you know, a 1 seed losing to an 8 seed. Like, that there's more pressure on you because your expectation is to go deep into the playoffs. When the playoffs began, I don't think a lot of people had the Maple Leafs winning the cup. The Bruins had the 3rd best odds. And the only reason why they weren't higher was because Tampa Bay was in the next round. So I know there's a lot of upsets in hockey, but if you're just focusing on this series, there should be more pressure on the team that has a Game 7 at home.
Look, both teams obviously feel enormous pressure.
Oh, a ton.
It's win or go home. Mm-hmm. We understand all that. We're just trying to figure out who... For which team can the pressure become overwhelming tonight?
Yeah.
And to me, the Bruins have more veteran leadership. Toronto's a younger team, less experienced team. Not that they don't have great players. They do. And John Tavares is the biggest addition that they made to the roster. You know, he's a veteran guy. He's been through a lot in the course of his career. But the Bruins have got that whole leadership core. This is Patrice Bergeron's 11th Game 7 tonight.
That's insane. There's a lot of Game 7s. There's a lot of...
And by the way, he's 5-5 in the previous 10.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of playoff games, period, when you look at a lot of those guys. Now, that would... So, David Backes, who was in the lineup in Game 2 and was a part of that sort of that turnaround that they had, would you throw him back in there tonight? Or would you keep him on the... Because I know he doesn't bring
guess not.
So, you're sitting here.
Because
that's a guy who has a lot of playoff
and I'm sitting here guessing, you know, what he brings to the table is a physical presence, and I would not expect that would be that big a factor in tonight's game. You know, you're not going to... Nobody's going to take a dumb penalty. Well, they're going to try not to take penalty.
No, I know.
You know, they're going to try not to... You won't see any fights or anything like that.
Yeah, no fights, but don't you think game two was the most physical that the Bruins played?
Yes.
And it may have also been their best game, and so that's why I wonder. I know he's only going to play 9 minutes or whatever it's going to be, but is that something? Can they spark that, or do you get more out of Kuhlman or whoever else, I guess, takes his spot in the lineup? And maybe you say, well, it's going to be more of a skill game, and maybe that's the hope. I mean, I still go back to that game seven they played Bruins and Lightning all those years ago on their way to the Cup. Not a single penalty was called. There was no power plays in the entire game. Now, based on the way this series has gone, I'd be surprised by that. I think there's, especially going all the way back to the Kadri hit, I think they've been a little bit not giving the guys as much leeway. They've been kind of quick on some of these whistles, and I think that'll probably continue. So a penalty-free game, I feel like, is probably unlikely. But if it is, then yeah, you'd want the most skill possible on the ice.
I just think that there won't be a huge amount of physical. There will be hitting. There won't be, because you just can't afford to make the mistake that sends your team home for the summer. You know, they were worried about getting control of the series after game two and after the Kadri hit, and it really started to get away from them. And the NHL supposedly met with the officials and said, "Listen, this is not going to become, you know, a bloodbath out there. We're not going to have, you know, Sports Center highlights for the next 6 months because these two teams are hacking and whacking each other." So they really wanted to get control, and I think they did.
Yeah, I think they have for the most part. And it's been kind of ticky-tack, I feel like, at times for both teams. Like, I know there are definitely the goalie interference thing that people are upset about, or maybe the slew foot high sticking and
which,
those
by
ones.
The way, Bruce Cassidy said he has brought to the attention of the supervisor of officials for this series is Mike Murphy.
Yeah.
And Bruce Cassidy said yesterday it's something that we've brought to the attention of the supervisor.
Mm.
This isn't just Don Cherry saying it. It isn't just Dale Arnold saying it. The coach and the players have been talking about this entire series. As Cassidy coyly puts it, you know, maybe they're just making contact with the back of my player's skates by accident.
Could be, yeah. It could just be happenstance.
Seems to be few more times than accident would indicate.
I got a stat that could blow your hat off if you're wearing a hat.
Okay, sure.
Rosie, cue the Rich Keefe stat of the day sounder here. Talking about whether or not David Backes should be in the lineup here tonight, or if you would consider putting him in the lineup.
Today, it's Rich Keefe's stat of the day.
In game sevens, David Backes, 3-0.
Ooh.
What do you think of that? You sitting down? You think maybe you put him in there? He's never lost a game seven. Pretty good.
It gives me pause.
I would hope you put him
right on the first line?
No. You might want to think about it.
No.
You might want to. The guy moves well.
No. I wouldn't do any of that.
No.
It is just so much fun. The building is just going to be so electric. And as you pointed out, game five last Friday night, they were ready to rip the roof off the place.
Yeah.
They wanted, and the Bruins gave them nothing.
Nothing.
They didn't. They weren't engaged. They weren't emotional. And the building ended up sitting there going, okay, come on, give me something here.
Is there a lead? So obviously there's a history here between the Maple Leafs and the Bruins in game sevens. Is there a lead?
Yeah, there's a history, like 4 third-period goals by the Bruins last year in Game 7.
Is there a...
In 2013, mm-hmm. I seem to remember...
Is there a lead big enough for Maple Leafs fans?
For Toronto fans, not a chance.
Like 8-0.
Oh, no.
They're still glued to the screen.
Still be, all those people in that plaza outside of the Scotiabank Arena.
So that's one of those things where I guess if you're the Bruins and if you do get down, I guess you have to kind of lean on history a little bit, especially some of the guys who are on the ice and hope that you come back, but... It is. It's one of the best things about Game 7 because it's like watching a 60-minute overtime period, essentially. You know, like right when it starts, you're just so invested in it and you're just waiting for anybody to make a mistake and see who can capitalize on it. So it's going to be fantastic.
We talked about the Tuukka Rask factor yesterday.
Yeah.
You know, I think that there are Bruins fans who are concerned, at least, nervous about the play of their goaltender.
Including PJ Stock.
But we pointed out that actually the record of Frederik Andersen in Game 7s is dramatically worse than Tuukka's.
Well, this seems
he's 0-3 lifetime.
It seems like a bit of a wash, doesn't it, the goaltending in the series? And I think if you just said Tuukka Rask, Frederik Andersen, my point all along has been Tuukka Rask, you should have the edge there. I think, like, overall, he's the better goalie. But in this series, just the six games that we've seen, kind of a toss-up.
and now tonight. I mean, there's a chance. Both are good enough to have an unbelievable game, but both are kind of shaky enough where you could see a soft goal on either side. Like, neither guy has been dominant or bad, right? It's been kind of right in the middle, I would
say. They've been good.
They've been good. Good's probably the best way of putting it.
Yeah, no, they've both been good.
Yeah.
From the National Hockey League, there's a great number from tonight's game, another one. Zdeno Chara will play in his 13th career Game 7 tonight.
Holy smokes.
He will tie Scott Stevens and Patrick Waugh for the most in NHL history.
Oof.
13 Game 7s. Again, you go back to the whole experience factor. Does it matter? Does it help? Does it help you understand what to do when the emotions are running hot? You would think that it would give the Bruins a bit of an advantage. You know, Brad Marchand's played in 9 of them. We said Patrice Bergeron's played in 10 of them. I think Krejci's played in like 10 of them. Chara will be playing in his 13th tonight. So you would think that they would get an advantage from some of those numbers.
5-7, Zdeno Chara is in game 7s. Not the best, but a couple of wins over Toronto.
There are a couple of those in
there. Yeah, so that's not bad.
The Bruins will have, my guess is it will be an optional skate for them today over here at Warrior. By the way, it's a quick aside here, and Brad Marchand has talked about it. Others have talked about the status of the ice surface at the TD Garden. Part of the blame belongs to the Bruins. They never skate there except for games. They don't even do pregame skates there. All of their pregame skates are here at Warrior.
Yeah.
And guys who know this a lot better than I do, guys like Barry Peterson say, you got to be on the ice more. That's part of the problem is that the ice isn't what they want it to be.
Why don't they do that?
Because they've got this state-of-the-art Taj Mahal practice facility and, you know, with their own chef and their own kitchen, and they've got everything they want.
Is that it? Or is it the Celtics at all? Does that throw them off? Or just all the events
over
there?
Today, for instance, they could easily do a game day skate at the Garden.
So two
things. They choose not to.
Two things I am praying that we aren't talking about tomorrow is a bad call on either side or bad ice. Like, just you're hoping that they can just play the game. There's a winner, there's a loser, and there's not, well, this was a terrible call, or, oh, remember the replay that we looked at for 100 times, or, you know, just a terrible bounce of the puck because the ice sucks, and then you have players talking about the ice. Praying that we don't get that,
got
but you
a chance
never know.
Of having happen here tonight. All right, here's the deal today, because the schedule got shuffled around a little bit when the Red Sox got rained out last night. We will be going to the pregame show for Red Sox baseball at noon, and the hosts of at least part of your pregame show will be these two guys.
Oh, you're listening
right
to
here.
Them. You are listening to
Rich
them.
Rich Keefe will be all across New England on the Red Sox radio network today.
It's like a game 7 for me. Yikes. Now I'm nervous.
So that's coming up. Red Sox baseball at 1. Chris Sale gets the ball in the first game of the doubleheader, the day-night doubleheader. So that's all coming up today. Jeff O'Neill, hockey analyst from Toronto.
He's the best in the business,
Rich
folks.
Rich Keefe's new favorite one. Follow him on Twitter at
O-Dog9. O-Dog.
He's coming up in just a couple of minutes, but we got a trend.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
First. Ooh.
7 tonight. Bruins, Leafs, react and talk about it now. Now back to Dale and Keefe on Boston Sports Station, WEEI.
I had a hard time typing 5 and 6 into my day planner. How is that defense going to hold up against one of the best teams in the league? I don't know how it's going to do it. How do you have any confidence in that to think it's going to go 7?
It went 7 last year.
That has nothing to do with anything.
As soon as we played that cut, before this series started, he immediately became Rich Keefe's favorite, absolute favorite NHL analyst.
Well, he's the best at what he does, and I can respect the best. And I agreed with his prediction. Now, we've both been proven wrong to this point. I thought it was going to be a 5-game. I didn't think sweep. I thought it was maybe going to be a 5-game series. I like the way the Bruins matched up against the Maple Leafs. I like the fact that they had home ice. I like some of the way the team had been playing. They also seem to be pretty healthy. I mean, going into this series,
they are healthy.
You're
still missing Kevin Miller, but he's really the only.
But you couldn't find too many stretches during the regular season. Like, take a 7 or 10 game stretch where they had all these guys. I feel like they were always missing somebody. And as you said, they are missing one of their top six defensemen, but still, their most important guys are all out there. So this is going to be decided by their best players.
Jeff O'Neill played in the National Hockey League for the Hartford Whalers, the Carolina Hurricanes, and the Toronto Maple Leafs, and is now an analyst. Works at TSN, appears on Maple Leafs broadcast, co-hosts Overdrive on TSN Radio, and he is Rich Keefe's favorite NHL analyst, and he joins us right now. Hey, Jeff, how you doing?
Hey, guys, how's it going?
Good. Doing great, thanks. As soon as we played that cut of you before this series saying you couldn't type games 5 and 6 into your day planner, you became Rich's favorite analyst. Where'd you get it wrong?
You know what? Just the way Toronto was going into the playoffs, they had some performances, and it really started since January 1st, where they just were awful in their own zone. Their defending and their all-around approach to the game, and you know, watching Boston destroy teams nightly on the scoreboard, I thought there's no way they're going to be able to handle this, you know. And they've obviously had difficulty with that Bergeron line, but for the most part, their defending has kind of flipped the switch, and they, you know, I don't think you can argue the fact that they've, you know, been the better team a lot of the games. So they're in the series, and I don't know. I thought it would be over quick. And as I mentioned back then, I was writing down my schedule, and I had a tough time writing down the other games. But here we are at Game 7 again, and it should be a good one.
Now, you can break a tie for us because I think there's more pressure on the Bruins because they are the better team and the game is in their building. Dale thinks the more pressure is on the Maple Leafs considering they had a chance to advance in Game 6 and they couldn't do it, plus just the history of the franchise. Who do you think has more pressure on them tonight?
It's obviously a difficult question because in this market, I would say definitely, hands down, the Maple Leafs. If you look what happened in 2013, you look what happened in, you know, the series last year with the lead in the third period and the collapse, and obviously the big one in 2013. You know, Austin Matthews has got a big-time contract. He's, you know, he's paid that money to win this series. John Tavares came to Toronto. He makes big-time money to play well in this game and help Toronto win the series. Mike Babcock hasn't been out of the first round in quite some time. So I think if you put all that together, I guess you could say in this market, I would say Toronto's under the gun to kind of get the job done, as opposed to saying, well, the big bad Bruins won the series again and we'll move on and wait till next year, where most likely they're going to play each other again in the first round. So I would look at it from the Toronto perspective, no question.
We asked this question going into the series. If the Leafs had another first round exit, would there be heat on Mike Babcock in Toronto? What do you think?
I don't think so. I think he makes too much money, and his contract is, I think he's got 4 or 5 years left. I think the only thing that would put heat on Mike Babcock is if the exit interviews, you know, I think there were some exit interviews last year where kind of Austin Matthews expressed some of his displeasure, and immediately Babcock ended up flying out to Phoenix and kind of had to repair that a little bit. So, you know what it's like. The guys have a lot of control, the players nowadays, and if a bunch of them go into Kyle Dubas's office or Brendan Shanahan's office and say, we can't stand this guy, ultimately he's probably not going to be around long. But, they have the built-in excuse, you know, young group, blah, blah, blah. But I would say that if they lose this series, he'll definitely kind of be on the clock, as opposed to, you know, he can do whatever he wants, and he's going to be around here forever. I definitely do think the clock will start ticking if they do lose tonight.
Who do you have more confidence in, Tuukka Rask or Frederik Andersen?
You know what? I got to be honest with you. I think I have more confidence in Tuukka Rask or in Frederik Andersen. Sorry, I kind of jumped the gun there and said the wrong answer off the hop. I don't know, Tuukka, as much as I think he's a fantastic goaltender, a fantastic competitor, is just kind of hasn't there been some weird things that have happened over the years? Like a couple of years ago, wasn't there a game where they had to win to get in and he was sick or something?
Yes.
Some weird stuff.
Yeah, Fluka Rask is what we call him.
The what?
Fluka Rask. He had a bad case of the flu, apparently.
Yeah, I don't know. I just think that in that building, there's, you know, even after Game 1, you know, there was a couple breakaway goals, a penalty shot, and the fans were going nuts on Twitter saying they needed a save and he couldn't come up with it. So I think he'll be under the gun if something goofy happens early. Even if you take Game 6, if that slap shot from the point goes in, I think you'd hear some wrestling in the crowd. about how that went in. So I think that the home goaltender might be under the gun, but I don't think you can argue that Frederik Andersen has been fantastic this series. A lot of times I think that he has kept the score from getting pretty lopsided in some of the Bruins' victories.
We're talking to Jeff O'Neill, hockey analyst from Toronto, works on the Maple Leafs broadcast as well. 5-on-5, Toronto's outscoring Boston 11-8. If the Bruins win Game 7 tonight, special teams are going to be eviscerated in Toronto. What has been their problem on the penalty kill? Because the Bruins are killing them in that department.
Yeah, I think that, you put Brad Marchand and that talent out there and you give them some room and space. Winning faceoffs is clearly an issue in that department. And I think over the last couple of years, the penalty kill has been fairly dismal. And it's an area of concern. And what the area of concern goes where you might not be as aggressive because you're thinking, God, if I take a penalty, they're just going to score a goal. So maybe you might be a little bit tentative during your play because God knows you don't want to take a penalty. And, we saw it again the other night, two for two, the Bruins on the power play. So I don't know how you approach that. You want to be aggressive, but you obviously want to stay out of the box because you know how dangerous they are. So that's one thing that's key for the Maple Leafs. Either if you're going to take a penalty, they better friggin' kill it, because I'm sick of talking about penalty killing here in Toronto and how bad it is.
Now, one of the advantages I thought the Bruins had going into the series was just their defense core versus Toronto's, but the Maple Leafs have been a lot tougher than I thought, and those guys really haven't been a liability at all.
Yeah, that was the big question going into the playoffs. Could that D-core, which has been just talked about, to no end, can they, it's been the weak link. They've got talented forwards, they can score goals, but can you 6-2 it, 6-5 it in the playoffs? It's not really a recipe for success. But I'll give them a lot of credit. They've kind of held the ground and, they flipped the switch because, as I mentioned off the top, going into the playoffs, they had some performances. They gave up a 5 spot to Montreal the last game of the year. They gave up 6 in Ottawa a couple times with losses. And that's where I kind of came to the conclusion. I'm thinking, against Boston, what the hell are these guys going to do against Boston? And that's why I made the comments about the later games in this series. I just thought to myself, they're too good, they're too experienced, and that D-core, if they keep playing this way, they'll have no chance. But they've done a good job of kind of flipping the switch and playing a system that can allow their team to have some success in the playoffs.
Bruce Cassidy admitted yesterday he has brought to the attention of Mike Murphy, the supervisor, about some of the slew footing that he feels, that the Bruins feel the Maple Leafs have been guilty of. I know Don Cherry talked about it on Hockey Night in Canada. Do you think the Maple Leafs are slew footing people?
You know what? I think that's just gamesmanship. If you go through Twitter, there's all kinds of examples of the Bruins doing dirty stuff and slew footing and Chara punching people in the face. So, if you really want to break down tape and go through all the garbage that's going on the ice, I think you'll find it that both sides are not angels out there. It's playoff hockey. Is it a coincidence? I've never heard of a coach coming into a locker room saying, guys, listen up, I've got this tactic for you. When a guy's got the puck, go up and kick the back of his skate. I've never heard of that. And I know Mike Babcock's not about that. So is it something the refs... You know what, though? I will say this. There was a slew foot called in Carolina last night, and there was a phantom slew foot where a guy from Dallas with a minute left, Como, just ran into somebody, and they called that a slew foot, too. So apparently the word is out throughout the referees in the National Hockey League. So if I'm anybody tonight for either side, I'm not going near anybody's skates.
How good of a chance do you give the winner of tonight's game of winning the whole thing?
You know what? I wouldn't put the percentage at a real high one. I don't think it's going to be a picnic playing Columbus next round. Mm-hmm. I know they've had a big break, but they just dummied the Tampa Bay Lightning, and they've got something going there. Can they kind of regain that momentum? I will say this, though. I think it's okay to kind of look ahead. I mean, if you look at this, if Boston loses tonight and Washington loses tomorrow, I will go 0-for in my picks for the first round.
Good job.
Every team I thought had a chance to win the championship this year, go to Winnipeg, to Nashville. It just goes on and on. The teams that I thought had a chance to win, Tampa being ousted in the first round, Calgary getting dusted. I don't know. I'll go 0-for if those two teams win. So I think it's not a bad thing to think, Matt. You know, there's going to be some new blood possibly this year. Mm-hmm. So I think it's okay to go into the game thinking, you know what, maybe why not us this year?
Jeff, we really appreciate the time and the perspective from Toronto on tonight's Game 7. Should be fun either way. And don't kick Razor in the balls, okay?
He needs a real good, swift kick right in the pills. You know that?
I agree. I mean, that makes sense to me.
All right, go ahead. Let her rip then.
That's street justice is what that is.
Thanks,
Jeff. If he was out of bed, he's probably still in bed or he'd be listening to this.
Thanks, Jeff. We appreciate it.
All right, boys. Enjoy the game tonight.
See ya. That is Jeff O'Neill, TSN hockey analyst.
Pretty good.
A good swift kick in the pills.
That's what he's going to get. He can't be giving out his number. It's outrageous.
It's 8 shades of wrong.
But that is insane. I mean, everybody that he picked could be out if Boston goes down. But that's just the way the NHL playoffs have been this year. And everybody always says, there's always upsets in the NHL playoffs. And there are, but not like this year. This year's another whole level with all the top teams going down.
617-779-7937 is the telephone number. Text line is 37937. We become the pregame show for Red Sox baseball at noon. We will get to your calls between now and then. We've got NFL draft stuff to talk about. Celtics now know their second round matchup. We've got that to talk about. It's Dale and Keefe, Sports Radio, WEEI.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice cold reward. Medella is the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Take Dale and Keefe with you wherever you go. Download the Radio.com app. Now back to Dale and Keefe on WEEI.
Is the telephone number. Another busy sports day in Boston. Turns out we have three games again today. It's just two of them are baseball games.
Yeah, no need for the quad box tonight.
No quad box tonight.
No.
You'll have just two. Well,
just the twofer.
Two that you care about.
The one may not get a whole lot of screen time tonight. Maybe a full.
Now, if Chris
full
Sale
screen.
Was throwing tonight, it might be different.
Maybe.
I wonder if they gave Sale the option of throwing the first one or throwing the second.
Go?
Since Hector Velasquez is the second game pitcher, and sorry, Hector. What Chris Sale wants, Chris Sale gets.
Yeah, probably.
So my guess is he was given the choice and said, I'll play the first one.
Mm-hmm.
All right, let's get to the calls with you guys. 617-779-7937 before Game 7 tonight at the TD Garden. Again, if the Bruins win tonight, if all four Boston sports teams will have won at least a first-round playoff matchup in this, 2018-19 run here.
Which is insane. I mean, some cities can't get a team to the playoffs. Other cities can't get their team to win a round in the playoffs, and then the Boston over here, every team wins.
It would be the first time ever that Boston would pull that quadruple off if they pull off the win tonight.
Pretty crazy.
Jason Quincy, hey Jay, how you doing?
Hey guys.
Hey,
I love you soon.
Thank you.
I don't even know what to make about tonight's Game 7 because history says Game 7 against Toronto, Bruins are going to win, but. The Bruins haven't always had a great history with the Game 7s at home. They lost to Carolina, they lost to Montreal, they lost,
Washington. So,
and I'm looking at the game, I'm like, they should win it because they're better than the Toronto Maple Leafs, but I don't know.
Well said. I agree with you.
And I think that Rask can't let this happen because however unfair it is, people think it's his fault. It's easy to point out his mistakes, but I haven't met somebody that can name like more than three or four goalies that make less mistakes. You know what I mean? So, they'll be like, we got to get rid of Rask. I don't think it's his problem. I think that, I don't know.
I think you're right, Jay. No matter what happened.
In common with Claude Julien. And so we have Bruce Cassidy. Yeah. So let's see.
I just don't think in any of the three Bruins losses that even the most ardent Rask detractors could look at them and say, well, they lost because of that.
But you know what was going to happen if they lose game seven.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's going to go on him. And then as the years go on,
by the way, if he makes 50 saves and they lose 2-1 in overtime,
yeah,
they'll still blame him.
They still will. I mean, you'll have less of an argument there. But certainly if there's a soft goal or if something comes up, you're going to say he needs to be better. Because there's always that part of it, too. He is so highly paid that even if they lose a really low-scoring game, you say, well, why can't he steal one for you? Why can't he be the guy that just dominates the game and you're not getting anything by him? Why can't he do that? Especially if he gets outdueled by somebody like Frederik Andersen, who I think is probably the definition of fine as a goaltender. Then, yeah, you're going to look back at Tuukka Rask and you're going to highlight all the series that they lost. And then there's just more fuel for the Tuukka can't win a cup people.
Jim's in Connecticut. Hey, Jim.
Morning, boys.
Morning.
Morning.
Couldn't be more excited about a game seven, and I've got a key, I think, to the game.
Ooh,
that I would play a healthy, angry David Backes before the alternative, and here's why. I think that
thanks, Rich. Pressure, appreciate that.
Through his pressure early on, I think turnovers will cause a lot of disruption. I think, and that will draw penalties or potentially. And I think just a hard, aggressive game like Game 2 is what it's going to take. And then you're going to have to put Toronto back on their heels. If you get into a skating game with them, I think you're in trouble. I don't like our odds of a wide-open skating game. I like it. It's a lot of pressure, high intensity, a lot of hitting early and causing mistakes. And I think you'll get power plays, and I think you'll get goals off of mistakes.
I wouldn't be against playing David Backes tonight, given the way they played in Game 6 without him.
Yeah,
you know how coaches are. Well, I mean, we look great, right. And I don't know.
But Game 2 with him, you know, and that was at home.
Yes.
That was their best home performance.
Would you play him tonight?
I think so. I think I would, because he's not going to play a lot anyway. And so maybe some of the intensity he can bring early on and some of that leadership. Yeah, you know what? I like that. That's a good key by the caller. Play David Backes. He's never lost a game seven. And I just think, what's the alternative? Is it Kuhlman? Like, is it Nord? Like, who's playing in front of him? It's not like it's a guy that's going to make a major difference anyway. So maybe just some of the toughness that he brings. And not a fight. Nobody's saying for a fight.
No, because you're probably not going to see
one. No, you're not
going
to see that. And that's not what I'm asking for. Just maybe a big hit or something to get the crowd going. Because they were desperate to get going in Game 5, and there was nothing there.
I know this has been confusing for some folks out there, but just to clear it up, and I see a question on the text line about it. If the Bruins were to win tonight, they would then have home ice advantage every remaining round of the playoffs through the Stanley Cup final.
They'd be the favorite in every series.
The way home ice is determined is by regular season record. The best was Tampa Bay. They're gone.
See ya.
The second best was Calgary.
See ya.
They're gone. The third best is Boston.
Right.
So if they win, yes, they would have home ice against Columbus. If they won that, they'd have home ice in the Eastern Conference Final. If they won that, they'd have home ice in the Stanley Cup Final. That's the way this is all played out.
I got a question for you. Can the Bruins win tonight without a power play goal?
Oh, sure.
Hmm.
Could they? Yes. Hmm. It would be a lot easier.
Shyam's saying no. Shyam's shaking his head. I think they have to have a power play goal
as
well.
I think it's highly unlikely.
I say, you know what? Add it to the list. Add it to the list.
Well, I thought we weren't doing that today.
No, we're not. We're sprinkling them in here and there. The caller brought it up. He wanted to do keys. I think they have to have a power play goal to win. They don't have a lot of 5-on-5 goals in this series. Was it 8 over 6 games? Something like that? It's not very
many. They've been outscored 5-on-5, 11-8.
Okay, 8 goals. They need the power play goal. Maybe it's just one. Maybe it's just something to spark them or whatever it is. But I'm going to say they do need the power play goal.
617-779-7937 is the telephone number. We now know who the Celtics will play in the next round. Be careful what you wish for, because this guy is really good.
He's the best.
We'll talk about that and more in just a couple of minutes. Dale and Keefe, Sports Radio, WEEI.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.